All right, it's another episode of Wild World, and we're gonna be talking about the baby, Indian matchmaker, and sagging pants. Are they the problem? Listen, hope you enjoy. All righty, we are back. So, I want to talk about this controversy on the baby and his comments at Rolling Loud. Rolling Loud is a hip-hop festival. They have it every year. It's normally real lit, a lot of fans, music plays the hot, you know, many of the hottest artists go there to perform. So the baby, as a rapper, he pretty much said something, you know, like a call and response. He said some things that were considered, you know, insensitive to people who have HIV and AIDS. Some people think what he said was insensitive to people who are LGBTQIA. So my whole take on it is, you know, like I said, we keep running back into this whole freedom of speech thing, and freedom of speech is not freedom of consequences. Okay, you can say what you want to say, but you better be prepared for the consequences. Okay, so what he said, I thought it was, you know, it was unnecessary. I don't think he really needed to kind of put down people who had HIV and AIDS. I don't also, you don't need to put down people who decide to do oral in the parking lot or something, you know. But I mean, some people think people are being too sensitive, but I noticed that every time people kind of get upset with people being too sensitive, you know, it's always at someone else's expense, right? So you can't determine what is considered too sensitive in a quote-unquote objective sense, right? So it may not have been something that offended you, but it might have offended someone else, you know? So, yeah, so you just gotta, you know, watch what you say. But like you said, I like the boundaries, you know? I think some people want to live life where they can just say what they want to say and there's no consequences, there's no boundaries. And that's not how life is. And that's not, I don't think that's what we would want. Like when we drive on the road, we got a speed limit for a reason. You have lines on the road for a reason. I love, like I said, this is pretty much what Cat Williams said like a while back when he talked about quote unquote cancel culture. And I don't think it's cancel culture. I just think it's consequence culture. You know, you need boundaries. If people in the NBA didn't have it out of bounds, they'll be all the way in the stands, you know, shooting the basketball or something. So you need boundaries, you know, and I think boundaries are healthy. I think any relationship has any healthy relationship has boundaries, and you need boundaries here, you know. So apologize, you know, and, you know, move on. Now, some people may not accept the apology, but I think an apology is in order. And then I hear a lot of people also getting mad at Lil Nas X and him being, you know, living his truth. And I'm like, let him live his truth. You know, he's an artist. He's openly LGBT, openly gay. Yeah, let him live his truth, you know. And my whole thing about people being all upset about, you know, oh, I don't want my kids seeing that. That is such a negative influence. I don't know how to explain it to them. Let me tell you, as a public school teacher who's been a public school teacher for about 8 years now, I can assure you that you pretty much trying to block students or block your children from seeing certain things at home, that's not going to work, okay? Because you can do all that at home and someone can see someone who's LGBTQ at school, or they can show them a video and show them something. So you're going to have to explain to your children about sexuality, about gender, you have to explain it to them, you know, at an early age, you know? So this whole idea that you can kind of just shield your children from that is a myth. Okay, that's for one. Number two, with people like T.I. and others saying, oh, I want to protect my kids and all of this stuff. Like T.I., you're the same dude who had trap music. You know, you're the same person who has lyrics about selling drugs. You're the same person who got lyrics about pimping women. The same, you got the hip hop community, some people, right? I'm not going to just focus it on that, but we got songs about pimping and whoop that trick and all of that stuff about hoeing, pimping and hoeing women, like traffic, you know, even trafficking women, you know, in some lyrics, right? Even raping women in some lyrics. So you have all of that, and then you're concerned about Lil Nas X, about the negative influence of Lil Nas X, when you got all this other music out here that has a lot of other negative images and messages as well. You got Lil Uzi Vert with devil worship and all of this other stuff. So, and not just in hip hop. I don't want to just pick on them. You got that in metal rock. You got that in certain rock and roll. Charles Manson with devil worship. So you have a whole lot of stuff out here, you know. So you cannot expect artists to be parents, to be the parent your child for you. Okay, you're gonna have to explain as a parent. You're going to have to explain to your children about sex. You're going to have to explain to your children about gender. You're going to have to explain to your children about violence, how you treat women, about consent, about all of that stuff. You're going to have to talk about. You can't shield your children. That is a myth. So that's my take on it. But just respect everybody. And like I said, freedom of speech is not freedom of consequences. So if you say something, you better be prepared for the consequences, and you better, and if you're wrong, have the humility to say, hey, I am sorry. We are human beings. We are going to make mistakes. But the problem comes in when people are not humble and they think that they're perfect and they're infallible and that anything they say, I'm going to live in my truth and this is my truth. No, on certain things, you have the truth and then you have falsehood. So, yeah, my truth, everybody can't have my truth, because if that's the case, the people that said that COVID, that black people couldn't get COVID, that's their truth. No, that's not their truth. That's false. Okay. So respect everybody. That's my take on it. We on the next topic. Everybody, we on the next topic. Tell me what you think. All right, we on the second topic. So one thing I want to talk about is this show called Indian Matchmaker. This is probably one of the best shows I've seen. One of the best reality TV shows I've seen. You know, it's probably old. It's on Netflix. But yeah, it's so interesting, the whole idea of the arranged marriage. Okay, so definitely that is like offensive to many of our modern ideas about love and marriage. But it's very interesting, though, just seeing people who, you know, their parents, you know, kind of help them choose who they're going to marry. Or sometimes a lot of these people have been married 30, 40 years, and when they first met, they, you know, their families pretty much arranged for them to be married, and they stayed married. They stayed married for 30, 40 years. So it's very interesting. I mean, from looking at the dating scene now, it seems like a lot of people, we don't know how to do it on our own. So arranged marriages may be a thing, you know. You know, a lot of people are going to matchmakers and you know, trying that. So I found it to be very, very interesting for a number of reasons, because I think it's very interesting in this time now, because you have women for the first time are more independent. They have rights. They're not only voting, but they are, you know, heads of state. They are in the political office. They are CEOs. They are lawyers. They're doctors. They're in a myriad or a multitude of fields that were normally just reserved for men. So they are making more money than they ever have before, right? So yeah, so the whole idea of an arranged marriage, you know, like now women have to really like you. You know, I feel like they have to really like you in order to stay in that relationship, you know, because now they have so many more options. Back in the day, like 40s, 50s, a lot of women were staying in marriages out of economic necessity. Okay, they were staying in those marriages because of economic necessity. It wasn't that marriages back in the day were better. It, you know, people were staying together more because of the fact that women were dependent on men when it came to the economy, when it came to what jobs were available, all of that stuff. So So yeah, man. So you gotta really, you know, like an arranged marriage. So a lot of these women on this show, man, they were very, very picky. You know, they said, hey, I need the man to be this age. I need them to be in this office. You know, they need to have this amount of money. And then they showed it from both sides, too. Because the men, you know, some of them were picky as well. So, you know, do we really know what we want? It kind of begged that question. Because some of the people I was seeing, like, based on their personality, and then looking at what they say they wanted, it didn't really seem like it would really work, you know? And then you see some of these arranged marriages where their families just arrange for them to be married. And it end up being, you know, they end up staying together for 40 years. So it's very interesting. Like, do we really know what we want in a partner, you know? Or is the person that we want actually good for us? That's a better question, because a lot of times I think we get so wrapped up into the money, and then we get so wrapped up into someone's status, into what job they have, and how they look, and we get so much into this superficial stuff. But it's like, is that who you really want? And then who you really want, is that the same person as who you really need? In terms of it being a long-term commitment, you know? So these are some of the questions I'm kind of asking myself as I'm watching this Matchmaker thing, you know? So I've been, you know, binge-watching everything Matchmaker, anything, right? But yeah, a lot of us want, you know, we think we want this. So like before, you know, you think, for me, speaking for me, you think you want this model, this person who look all good, but you're like, do I really want that? Are they going to be gone all the time? Are they going to be, like, if you want, like, say you want an actress, like, a lot of, that's, like, the stereotypical thing that a lot of dudes want, right? Oh, I want an actress. I want someone who look all a model. But have you really factored in, like, their work schedule? Like, are they going to be gone? They may be gone all the time. Have you factored in that, oh, once they're married to you, they still may have to reveal themselves, like, intimate parts of themselves online? Is that something you're okay with? Yes or no? You see, so it's very interesting, you know? So do what we want, are we sure what we really want, you know? And at this point, like I said, not for me, because, you know, I'm out of the, like, romance game. But for other people, I am, you know, wondering is if it's better for people who really know you to choose your mate. You know, like, people who really know you, like, family or friends, like, would you have, like, three or four? Does it make more sense for, like, three or four people to just, you know, match you? You know, and then I'm talking about real good people, not some of your boneheaded friends who are, you know, obviously the ones to not include. So, but I think if everybody, like, chose two or three people, like, your real good people, you know, have a good head on their shoulders, they're married, they know you, they know what's good for you, you think, and for them to really just choose it. And then, like, the first date, it's really like your family's meeting together, you know? So I think, you know, that is actually a very interesting concept, you know, because like when you get married, you're marrying that one person, but they do come from a certain family that has certain values, that have certain traditions, that have certain beliefs. And you need to know, like, okay, are y'all lives going to mesh together? You know, so it's older and older I'm getting now. Values, beliefs, traditions, you need to find out if they fit. Are they compatible? And I think that's different than, are they the same? You know, are they compatible? You see, so, yeah, it's very, you know, like I said. But some of them Indian women, though, over there, they were like, and you seeing that whole tension between traditional values and modern values. And some of them women were like, hey, I'm a CEO. I'm not going to be just sitting up here giving up all of my career, giving up all my autonomy and money and all in my career for you. You know, or just from a snap of a finger, just going to halfway across the world and just being a housewife all day. You know, so shout out to the people who want to be housewives, but that's not the only role that women want to do anymore. You know, so Yeah, I think marriage, I mean, a lot of people talk stuff about marriage and have this, like, alarmist view on marriage and say, oh, yes, it's the sky's falling and everybody's getting divorced and all that. But I think it's just that people have choices now. You know, like, back in the day, I think women had a lot of their choices curtailed. So that's what kept a lot of people in marriages that they probably weren't happy in. But now people have freedom to be in marriage or not, you know, so... Yeah, it's very interesting, though. So check out that Indian Matchmaker if you ever get a chance. Very good show. And it may have you think about some things. Think about what's going on. So, all right. So what you think? Get back to me. And we on the next topic. All right. We on the last topic. So I had an interesting... Or, you know, intriguing. So we'll vocabulary it up a little bit. I had an intriguing conversation about music and the influence of music. And, you know, eventually, you know, the conversation came to hip-hop and its bad influences on the youth. You know, I also got into another conversation about, you know, sagging pants and how that's bad and... People don't like that, but just from a historical point of view, you know, some of these conversations, you know, first of all, always framed wrong in my view. So sometimes they're framed as if this stuff has only happened in the black community, and that's false. Okay, so you just have different generations. You know, when rock and roll first came out, like, you know, you had, even if within the white community, segments of the white community, you had a friction or tension between white youth in the 60s who wanted to wear their hair long, and then you had, you know, older white parents who didn't like that because they felt like longer hair on men was not seen as masculine. You had the quote unquote hippies, right? So it was a whole tension there, you know, a rebellion there, right? So I only bring that up to say that that's normal, like, just in, within human society, like so that's not something that's just a black thing. So when we see the sagging pants, yes, a lot of older generation of people or some people don't like it, but black, just like white, has never just been one thing, right? You have different sections of black, right? So back in the day, you had George Clinton and the Parliament Funkadelics and how they used to dress. They used to have colorful hair and, you know, a lot of heavy drug use and all of this stuff, right? So, you know, George Clinton was one person. Then you had Bootsy Collins. Then you had James Brown. Then you had, around that same time, you got, you know, you got your Jesse Jacksons. And, you know, you always had different segments of the black community, right? You always had different segments. So when people talk about, oh, the pants hanging down, or, oh, the music is glorifying violence, and they almost try to blame that for the violence. And I'm like, can we just listen to some of the music that was in the 60s and the 70s? Like, people just forget about Bobby Womack and that song, 110th Street. You know, that's my little attempt to sing or whatever. But when you hear Bobby Womack across 110th Street, he talks about pimps. He talks about pimping and hoeing and how, you know, you got the pushers on this street and people trying to do this and people trying to do that. They was already hustling and doing all of that, selling drugs, selling women trying to get a trick on the street. Like, that was the lyrics, right? You even got Curtis Mayfield, one of the best albums, you know, not going to say of all time, but one of the best albums of the 70s, right? Curtis Mayfield, he got "I'm Your Pusher Man." The instrumentals be messing people up because he was playing the instruments and all that. But he was talking about being a pusher man, talking about selling weed, selling cocaine, selling this. "I got what you need. I'm your pusher man," right? So it's been happening. That was way before hip hop was even thought of, you know? So sometimes I think the cause and effect gets messed up, but we try to blame hip-hop for a lot of social issues, like drug dealing. Like, when you talk about drug dealing, you're talking about poverty, right? Wherever you have high levels of poverty, unemployment, you're going to underemployment, you're going to have people selling drugs, okay? So if we really care about those issues, I don't think we should really just be focusing on the pants sagging and the on the music, right? That's just like a superficial part of the conversation, because the violence, drug dealing, prostitution, all that stuff has been going on even before hip hop was even thought of, right, in America. Before people was even calling themselves rappers, before even hip hop was even a thing. Oh, excuse me. That stuff was going on. Okay. But another interesting point about the pants sagging, and someone can probably, you know, say if this is the same thing or not, but another thing that bothers me about the people who criticize pants sagging is that, like I said, are we going to criticize people who are in punk rock, who has, you know, devil worship, you know, they have like demons or devil stuff on around their neck? You got Lil Uzi Vert, who's a black artist who has some of that, right, when he dresses. You have people who wear their hair in different colors. So, you know, like, some people don't maybe not like that stuff, you know, so what's the difference? But also, I see with a pants sagging, that criticism is mostly aimed at black boys or black men. But you can see a lot of black women, or women in general, who wear their underwear out in public, or who wear things that are very revealing. And then that same action is looked at as empowerment, right? Women empowerment. You know, Lizzo went to the Lakers game not too long ago, and she had a thong on. Like, she's a plus size woman, proud plus size woman who's a rapper. But she went out and she had a thong on that was very revealing at a Lakers game. Now, mind you, some people was upset about that. But then you also had some people who were like, hey, that's body positivity, all of this type of stuff, right? That's her being a plus size woman. That's her being proud of her skin, right? You got Megan Thee Stallion, similar thing, right? Where she's thick, right? And she shows her underwear. She shows it off, right? And it's looked at as empowerment, right? You can see Beyonce back in the day, right, doing similar things. You got Rihanna. You got Ruby Rose. You got Amber Rose. You got all these people online and women who wear things that are their underwear showing or stuff in their private time, and they are celebrated for it. But then you got men, if they pants sag, then it's looked at as being, you know, disrespectful. It's given all these negative, like, labels and stuff. So, but, you know, so I see that as a little bit, like, not a little bit. I see that as being hypocritical and inconsistent. Now, when you get to your job, obviously, I don't think you should be dressing like that. But, like I said, you got to be careful, because you don't want to, like, pretty much institute, you know, like, your preferences as being the end all be all. So certain things, like hair, like if it's like people getting in trouble for wearing locks, I think that's ridiculous. But we, you know, things like that, you know, because that's definitely targeted towards African American people and culture, you know. But we just gotta be honest about where a lot of this stuff comes from. You know, a lot of these, like, rules and this respectability politics stuff is rooted a lot of times in white supremacy. It's like Europeans came to North America and essentially made up what was considered appropriate in terms of our language, and in terms of how we spoke, in terms of how we dress, in terms of how we worship God, in terms of everything, right? So we got to always keep that in mind as well. So a lot of these rules that we are very passionate about, like, oh, this is supposed to be this way, or this is supposed to be respectful, appropriate, or this is supposed to be professional. A lot of these things are subjective, you know, and they're rooted in European colonization, most of them. Okay, so we just got to keep that in mind and sit down and be humble, as Kendrick Lamar said, right? But what's your take? Do you like the pants sagging? Is that big a deal to you? Or is the music, hip hop music, you know, is that the issue? Or is poverty the issue? Okay, so let me know what you think. And yeah. Peace.